All right. Well, this is the first show in our last month, and it was a pleasure to have Amber McLean on, who just finished doing an hour performance on the show, well, in conversation as well. The idea in the last month is to bring back people who have made a bit of a difference in my world, and Amber McLean is one of them. Another person who had kind of an impact on me over the years, her name was Marcella. The first interview, I called her Marcella, because I'm an awkward white guy that knows nothing about Italian.
Well, they're white, too. You're just awkward accent, probably. Okay. You have the awkward accent.
Yes. But just before... Well, let me set this up. So, I can't remember how we got connected, but Marcella... I ended up being on the show, and we shared her journey with her battle with MS. And she was also quite a prolific poet. As a matter of fact, I remember taking her book to a friend of mine who is a big producer down in L.A., and this producer just emotionally fell apart after reading some of the poems in this book. So powerful. Well, Marcella and I, over the course of a few years, became pals, and I really appreciated her. She was like a spiritual pebble in my soul. She was just irritatingly there. She wouldn't let me get away with anything, you know?
One of the few that kept you on the...
Yeah, that's true. Well, just before a show in March 2015, I mean, we were just about to go to air, and I got a phone call letting me know that Marcella had died.
I distinctly remember
that day?
Distinctly remember that moment.
MS finally took her. She was 38, I believe. I hope I got the math right. She was first interviewed by me in 2006, and what an impact this girl had. You know, I was in complete awe of her unwavering dedication to the God who never answered her hope and prayers to be healed. Like, most of us would kind of go, really?
Bye-bye.
And I was really honored to have been asked by the family to lead the funeral service for this young, vibrant, stubborn, and cheeky Italian woman. Marcella, as I described her and continue to describe her to many people, she was tenacious grace. And joining us on the phone right now is Marcella's mom. Marcella's mom doesn't actually have a first name. Her name is just Marcella's mom. Hello, Mom.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. I can't believe it has been 4 years. 4 years.
It has. Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. What is it like? You're still living in the same house where Marcella died, and what is it like in the house these days? You know, I was talking to someone the other day about when you lose a loved one, some people want to kind of create sort of
a shrine
to them, because they're worried that the natural way of... The natural way we are as humans is eventually there are not as many memories infiltrating our brain as time goes along, you know? So what is it like in the house these days without Marcella? Is it different? What's happening?
The house is very different, but we have not created a shrine because she was the type of person you could not capture by leaving things that she loved around. We often will include her in our conversations as though she's there. Someone will pipe up and say, well, if Marcella was here, she would have said this. Or, you know, you wouldn't have gotten away with that because she would have done this. And she's still very much a part of our lives. She affected every one of us very deeply. And we wouldn't be who we are had she not been a part of our lives. Yeah. I often try to read some of those poems you mentioned from her book.
Yeah.
And I thought that perhaps today, as I was contemplating what I would possibly say about
her. Yes, please do.
When you called me yesterday, I thought that perhaps today I would maybe answer some of what you might ask me with some of her poems.
Yeah. Well, I have no idea what I'm going to ask you, but I want you to read her poem. Can you read one of her poems or something? Because I really want people to get a little taste of who this stubborn, cheeky, faithful Italian woman was.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I thought I might respond this way, because for me trying to say what she might say, I'll get it wrong.
She would have told you.
Absolutely. She was very unique in her thought processes, and She said a lot by saying little. And yes, I'd love to share some of what she's written. For instance, she wrote her poetry, her book of poetry is called Endured. And she has a very short little poem by that title. It says, tears that have been shed, pain that hearts have felt, sorrow that has been seen, bridges that have been crossed, lessons that have been learned, lives that had been lived, darkness that has become light, all that which is endured. Rejoice.
Wow.
So you just mic dropped.
Yeah.
That's, see, this is the thing, right? This, you remember my incessant questioning of her. I mean, basically the question was, how can you not be ticked off with this God that you continue to worship and pray for healing and hopeful, you know, you're always hopeful that you'll be healed by this God. How can you not be a little ticked off with this God who's apparently done nothing? Nothing. He hasn't healed you. He hasn't fixed you. As a matter of fact, you died. How can you not be a little bit? So I'm going to ask that same question of you, Mom.
Oh, because, you know, I have a picture of her from Juliana's wedding. As you will remember, Juliana is her second oldest sister in the family of four sisters. I have a picture of her dancing with her dad at Juliana's wedding. It's the last time she ever danced, and he was basically holding her up because she couldn't really stand on her own. But I think of her, when I think of her, as her dancing. I finally see her as liberated and free. She's no longer trapped inside of a body, and, you know, she is now celebrating real life. That gives me comfort. It gives me a promise of something yet to be fulfilled for that day when I will see her again. And as you might remember, at her funeral, we had that poem that she wrote to each of us, a little paragraph to each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Something for all of us. And I felt that it was completely appropriate. Each and every one of us, our personalities were more or less challenged and captured in that little paragraph. This is who she was, and I was blessed to have had her in my life. And as my very first child, she taught me so much. And especially during those last 6 months when we spent that time together exclusively, really. I didn't leave the house except for one night when I had to perform, but she and I spent every weekend together. We used to call it our date nights, and we told each other everything and anything that was on our hearts. I considered that a gift from God to me, because as you remember, she almost died on that night, on the 2nd of September, when we called you away from the cottage.
Yeah, I have never packed and left the cottage so fast. It looked like we were losing Marcella, and I got the phone call, and I threw together. It was stuff like right out of a movie. I had clothing hanging out of my suitcase or my bag or whatever it was, and I flew. And I was hoping the cops would pull me over, because I was like, okay, then you need to get me to the hospital now. So you go in front of me, copper. Man, I flew down. I broke every law, driving law, imagine. Oh, sorry, I probably shouldn't say that. But
well, it's already happened.
So. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Statute of limitations.
Yeah. And then I get to the emergency room at the hospital, and here's another phenomena. How many Italians can you fit in an emergency room? All of them.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, and if you've ever met an emergency room nurse, you know, you'll say, hey, can we just have a couple more? No! Could we just three more people. No! Not with these guys.
Yeah.
Not with these guys. The emergency room nurses knew they could not manage the Tricolo family. They knew they couldn't handle you guys. So, anyway, yes.
Well, it was Gabriella who set the standard. when we were told we couldn't go into the ICU unit, she turned around and looked at the doctor, and she said, that's my sister, we're coming. And she turned around at us and said, let's go. And we heard it like a pack of elephants and didn't leave that side of the bed until the day she left the next day.
Yeah.
When we were all home.
Yeah. Okay, Mom, in a few minutes, I'm going to play a clip from the first time Marcella was on the show and then a clip from the last time she was on the show. And everyone's going to be able to hear the difference in her voice and the way she was unable to communicate as well as the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me think about this. nasty, stinking disease. I mean, it suffocated her. It trapped her. She was there, but this body that she was trapped in was betraying her, and it was hell.
It truly was.
Again, like, as a parent, as her mother, as her Italian mother, how could you, I don't even know what the question is, other than, you know, as a parent myself, I don't know how I'd be able to manage it.
I used to, in those 6 months when I was home completely, I would go to my room and stick my head in my pillow and scream and cry and then go back. And I didn't want her to hear because she was suffering her own hell, and she was doing everything in her power to make sure she didn't make us suffer for her. Mm-hmm. But it was inevitable. I mean, you don't want to see someone you love hurting that way, trapped, I guess, in a body that couldn't even scratch her own nose, couldn't turn around, she could only basically blink and speak and eat, which I made sure she had every single thing she wanted to eat those last 6 months. I made everything from scratch, and I made all day long as much as she wanted, anytime she wanted, anything she didn't like, I did it again. And it was just, I tried to make sure to give her what I might not be able to give her if she wasn't here. And then again, that was my gift to her, as her being with me was her gift, God's gift to me.
Well, I don't know what it was about this firstborn of yours, but I fell in love with her. I fell in love with your family. I don't know how your family has put up with me over the years.
Well, we all love you too, Drew. In fact, Juliana asked me to say hello for her, and so did Gabriela and Vittoria.
Thanks.
They were grateful that you thought of Marcella for these closing shows.
Yeah.
We think of you often as well, and as you know, we try to invite you to all of our occasions.
Yeah. Well,
I'd like to read one shorter poem before
please.
You take it to the other.
Yes.
It's called Humbled I Am.
Oh, I love it. Okay, go. Yeah, this is perfect.
Humbled I am, proud no more I am, burdened by the burden I am. If I could lift it from your shoulders, I would. Alone again I am, loved no more I am, saddened by the sadness I am. If I could happy the hurt, I would. Falling like tears I am, passing like years I am, weakened by the weakness I am. If I could hold on to nothing, I would. Old and stray, I am. Young and gray, I am. Parched by the dry, I am. If I could quench the thirst, I would. Humbled again, I am. Proud no more, I am. Burdened, the burden, I am. If I could lift it from your shoulders, I would.
Thanks, Marcella's mom. Thank you. Thank you for... I'm not sure how much credit we want to give Vince on this, you know, your husband, but you guys did an incredible job raising those girls, and what a tribute, what an honor to be able to look back on this, your eldest, Marcella, and just realize, I mean, I've heard from listeners around the world that this, and again, I shared earlier, I remember sitting with this Hollywood producer friend of mine, and she was reading Marcella's book, Endured, and she just fell apart. Like, this is a pretty tough broad. Should I say that? Am I allowed to say
no,
that?
Don't
no,
say
don't
that,
say that. Okay. No. Anyway, a dame? She was a tough dame? Anyway.
She was a strong woman, I believe, the way to say
the
that.
Impact of Marcella is around the world indeed because of the show, because of her book, because of Marcella. And what an insanely beautiful family you all have. Thank you for letting me be part of the gang. Thank you.
Well, we thank you for giving Marcella a voice beyond our four walls. And I mean, she put herself out there as much as she could, but as you know, she was basically confined in the last little while. She did have quite the voice, and because again she said so much with so little, it's penetrating. That's what I find. I have a hard time at times reading anything from this book, but again, I find comfort knowing that she understood herself and she understood humanity. She understood the various ways that humanity is touched, the penetrating words that mark, you know, hit their mark. There's another one here called Stain. O Lord, my Lord, wash my spirit clean. Rid my soul of impurities. Though I have sinned against you many times, your promise is fulfilled. So that I can call your name in faith, your sacrifice, I confess, has saved me. And by the blessed blood, I am healed. Lord, clothe me in that blood, so that in your presence none can see the sinful stain that I once wore.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, well, we are going to play a couple of clips from my interviews with Marcello, the first one and the last one. And, yeah, you'll hear Marcella. That's all I need to say. Anyway, okay, Marcella's mom, I'm getting mushy. So we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay, see you, Mom.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye.
God.
All right, this is the first interview with Marcella back in, I think it's 2000, when is it?
Six.
Okay, anyway, who cares? Yeah. Have a listen.
April 29th.
Have a listen.
I don't like introducing you this way because this does not define you. But the most concise way I can bring people up to speed is by saying that you're a young woman in your 20s whose body is slowly shutting down from MS.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, that's concisely put, but you're much, much more than that. And if I was you, I would hate to be defined like that.
I don't think you can define me that way. I wouldn't define myself that way. If I'm sitting here talking to you, I don't have MS. Well, I do, but I mean, that's not what runs through my mind.
No, and it's not part of how
we interact. But it doesn't offend me, no.
No. You know what? I'm the most politically incorrect person on the face of the planet. maybe Don Cherry is probably a little bit more than I am, but I always get tongue-tied when it comes to describing people with even the word. I mean, do you say disability? Like, is that a bad thing?
I don't have a problem with it. I think a lot of people get confused. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. People don't know, should I open the door? Should I help her? Or, you know.
Well, just as an example, you came in the studio and there's a bit of a ledge on the doorway there.
Yeah.
And the wheels were there and I just went right over to help. And I thought, well, hold on a second. She's gone over these doorways before. What do I, you know.
Well, actually, the chair's new, so I'm still learning to do wheelies.
All right. Wheelies.
I'll get it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about your journey, and that's what this segment is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you born and raised? Where'd you grow up, Marcella?
Born and raised in Toronto.
Downtown Toronto or a suburb?
Toronto General, I believe.
Oh,
yes.
That's where I was born.
By the way, I just need to, while it's going, need to say, yes, it was my first interview with Marcella.
Thank you.
Her name
much.
Is spelt like Marcella, so I called her Marcella instead of Marcella, and I'm an idiot.
And I'm going to keep referring sometimes to the other people we have in your room.
Of course.
Can you introduce your sisters?
My second sister, Juliana, and my youngest sister, Victoria.
How many sisters are in the family?
One more, Gabriella.
Four sisters.
Four of us, yeah.
Any brothers?
No.
Oh, thank goodness. Because he would have a hard time.
I think my dad, well, he was trying for a boy, but he kept getting girls, so he finally said, all right, we'll stop.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so born in Toronto, and how would you define yourself as a child? Were you a rebellious little jerk?
I was not at all rebellious. I was a very good girl. I can say that absolutely.
Would your mom agree with that?
I think it was, I think she must have to. I think it was a little unfair to my parents because I misled them. And that's why, you know, they could have other kids thinking, well, they're all great. They're going to be great.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Honestly, I was a really good kid. I followed the rules. I didn't rebel. I didn't argue with not being allowed somewhere. I didn't even ask most of the time because I knew the answer was no kind of thing.
Mm.
Then I was diagnosed at just before I hit 18, and that kind of hit me, and I kind of tried to break out of
who you were.
I had a really major identity crisis.
Okay.
I didn't know who I was, but I tried to break out of the rules. Okay, sorry, Mom, Dad, you gotta let me out. I gotta get out. And it was just anything like that. Being diagnosed at that age or any age, it's going to affect you.
Mm.
It becomes a journey, and nothing about my journey is any more special than anyone else's.
Were you in high school when you were diagnosed, or were you out?
I was out. I was just going to
aesthetics college, actually.
Okay.
Graduated from. I was diagnosed while I was in there.
Okay. What were the early signs of MS?
My feet were tingling.
Okay, so you had tingling in your feet were numb, and you're like, what the heck's that all about? Went to the doctor?
No, not really, not right away. I waited about a year and a half.
Year and a half of tingling.
Yeah, I figured it would go away, but then it didn't. I said, all right, you know, we'll go.
Yeah.
At that time, I wasn't worried about anything. Afterwards, anything that goes wrong, I go to the doctor kind of thing.
Right.
You know, these things, they affect you, whatever.
Forgive my ignorance. I know very little about MS. Is MS something that, for example, if you had done something about the tingling earlier, it would have helped, or it would have just gone on the way it would have gone on anyway?
I'm a little upset about there's no cure, and doctors will tell you there's nothing you can do.
Hmm.
I think a doctor that says there's nothing you can do should lose his license or hers.
Why?
Because, yes, it's a neurological disease, and it's degenerative, and there's a lot of things you can't control, but pushing yourself and building your stamina and building your endurance does benefit.
Okay, so they should word that better. They shouldn't say there's nothing you can do. They should say there is no cure for MS, but that's not the end of life. Get your act together, lift your game,
mm-hmm.
and prepare for a different lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying I would have listened. Actually, I probably wouldn't have.
Why?
I was just so distraught, and I was too busy thinking about, okay, this is how my life is going to be. I couldn't be concerned with, okay, this is what I've got to do to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Until it had progressed significantly, and then I made an effort. I still do to some extent, but obviously it's a little harder for me now.
Hmm. Over the course of your diagnosis, were there times where it got better and you thought it was going away, and then it got worse, and then you knew it was there, and then it got better, and it got worse? In other words, you were jerked around emotionally?
There's actually four different types of MS.
Oh.
The type I have is primary progressive.
Okay, so we're just going to pull down the volume on that interview. That was my first interview with Marcella. And this next interview is about 7 years later. And this was about a year and a half, 2 years before Marcella died. I want you to listen to the difference that MS made in the way Marcella communicated.
I'm going to admit something in the safety of the public, in the safety of Tim being here. I would never say something this creepy to you privately, but I'm going to say it publicly.
Okay.
I am totally in love with you.
You,
for some reason, you have not left my brain. And I've interviewed a lot of people since you were on this show.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember half of them. But I can't get you out of my brain.
That's not good.
Well, I think it's okay. It's okay. So let's go back 5 years ago.
Yeah.
2000. Do you realize it was April 29th, 2006? It was almost exactly 5 years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't know.
And you came here into the studio. Do you remember how we found each other? Do you remember how that happened originally?
That girl called. Or she wrote.
What girl? Was she involved in some organization or?
No, I think she worked for another company. And she just wrote in and said, I think you should interview this girl.
Did this have to do with your website, Endured?
Yeah.
Right. Are you still doing stuff on your website?
I am. Well, yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was endured.com.
Yeah.
Right? And it was basically chronicling your story, your life, and
yeah,
this brave woman battling MS.
Not that brave.
I knew you were going to say that. You default to that so quickly. Why are you so uncomfortable with people seeing you as brave, or I guess, I mean, you're a survivor. You're a fighter.
Yeah, I guess. Why am I uncomfortable with it? Because it implies that I'm doing it well. I'm not. I'm miserable most days.
Miserable most days does not paint a nice rosy picture, does it?
No. But it's accurate.
See, that's the other reason I've wanted to have you on the show time and time again since 2006, is because when you were here last time, you said it like it is. You don't candy coat things. You don't paint with a little fluffy brush.
Well, there's no point. Who are you painting for?
You're so cheeky.
True.
What's happened in the last 5 years? Tell me a couple. Let's start with some positive stuff. Tell me something good.
Well, I was dating this guy who I loved, and I still love, but I guess that's a good.
That's a good thing?
That's as good as a cat.
Are you still dating?
No.
Okay. So if you still love him... Now, look, when you and I talked last time, one of the reasons you didn't want to come on is because you didn't want to talk about all this love stuff.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you started it. You just started talking about it.
Well, you asked me a question. I didn't know how I was saying it.
So that was a beautiful thing to love and be loved. Yes?
Yes. Absolutely. You're waiting. There's some silence.
I'm not rushing
anything. You want me to fill it, but I've got nothing. I recognize the silence.
Mm-hmm. This is me leading you into something that you may not want to go into. Did you not fly over to visit him, I think, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Good. England, was it?
Yeah.
Good memory.
Yeah.
I got kind of protective when I heard about this guy. I was like, okay, who is this guy? You need to run these kind of guys. You need to run any guy by me.
Okay.
Okay? Just saying.
Okay.
What about the treatment stuff that you finished doing a little while ago?
I went to Poland to get this treatment. So far, it's backfired.
Oh.
Well, so far, I'm off all my meds. So that's good. But I'm shaky and weak. You know, I haven't been able to cry in months. You're going to make me today.
I'm sorry. It's not my intent.
You should be.
Oh, man. This is killing me.
So frustrated, obviously, because your hopes were... So, for those of you that have been listening, that is my good friend Marcella. And she died a year and a half, 2 years later, at the age of 38. And you could hear the difference, obviously, between the first interview and the last interview. It's not professional.
It's real, though. That I think honors the moment. It honors her, so don't apologize.
so
We are in our last month of the Drew Marshall Show, and it's June 1st, and I wanted to start off the show with a recording artist who has meant a lot to me, and a journey segment, a story, a person, a guest I had on the show that meant a lot to me. I gotta stop sucking up snot in the microphone. I guess it really didn't need a descriptor, did it?